Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. This is God's word. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel. For you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly. For they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His border will extend toward Sidon. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey, lying down between two saddlebags. When he sees how good is his resting place and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and submit to forced labor. Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a serpent by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider tumbles backward. I look for your deliverance, O Lord. Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful vine, a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber. Because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you, with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he devours the prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. Then he gave them these instructions. I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished giving instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said last time that this whole matter of blessing someone, speaking words of blessing, is not just a cultural thing, it's actually a biblical thing, and words have power. There are many people who live their whole life never in a meaningful way receiving the blessing that should come to them from those who were placed over them. There are also people who have curses pronounced over them. And it is important for those who have suffered that they find freedom in Christ and realize that his word trumps the word of others. If someone not in obedience to the Spirit speaks blessing on someone who is doing evil, blessing a marriage that ought not to be, blessing a lifestyle that ought not to be, you need to get free from that lie, because that is not a blessing from God. That is a counterfeit. If somebody gave me $1,000 bills and I planned my future accordingly, oh, I've got all this money, look at this, $1,000. Not just $1,000, 1,000 times 1,000. This is wonderful. And I start going out and making purchases and signing contracts, and turns out it's counterfeit. Guess who's in trouble? Because I believed a lie. And I thought I could do things freely that I can't. Let me tell you, we need to know what God says. That which God blesses, we need to receive. And that which God says is cursed, we need to avoid like the plague.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jacob doesn't say, let me give you boys a few pointers. He says, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. in the future, in the days to come. How should he know? Well, he's a dad. He's observed some things. No, it's not just that. Jacob, for all of his faults, walked with God and was God's spokesperson. Not because he was such a great guy, but because God chose him and chose to use him. And that's why when he speaks these things, God is speaking. This is a message from God. Now let me tell you something. God can speak through a bush. He does that with Moses. God can speak through a donkey. He does that with Balaam. God can speak through circumstances. God can speak through pagans. Doesn't make them okay, but God's word is true no matter who speaks it. Please understand that. We're not saved by preachers. We're saved by God, who sent his son to save us. And if you are trusting in him for your salvation, you're his child and you will be forever. But if you're trusting in the preacher to save you, you need to get saved. Jacob spoke God's word to his sons. And the first one on the list is Reuben. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power. Reuben's got to be feeling pretty good at this point. Yes, that's me. I'm the oldest. And as the oldest, I get the blessing, I get the leadership. I'm the heir. I'm going to take over the show. Turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel. For you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. Simeon and Levi, that's all he had to say to Reuben. This thing had happened years before. People knew about it, but Dad hadn't said anything, so I don't know, maybe Dad doesn't know. We certainly fooled him about the thing with Joseph. Now he gets confronted. And when he gets confronted, that's the end of the story. Done, son. Let me just tell you, there are a lot of people living their life thinking they got away with something. There are a lot of people who think that the father doesn't know. Don't try to keep your sin hidden. God knows. We say that we have no sin. We're lying. The truth isn't in us. We're only deceiving ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reuben thought he got away with it. It had been years. Dad acted fine. But no. He had lost his role as the leader. Simeon and Levi, next in line, are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. America celebrates violence. America celebrates vengeance. We think that people who go in there and mow folks down because they deserved it, those are heroes. What's he talking about here? He's talking about when Dinah got raped. And her brothers were so angry that these two didn't just go and punish the rapist. They went and wiped out an entire town. Not okay.
Hey, well, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth?
Yeah, it says an eye for an eye, not a head for an eye. You understand? The purpose of that was not to make sure that everybody got payback. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. The purpose of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was to limit the sinful heart and actions of people who, when they're angry, want to do more to that person than they did to me. We're escalating violence. Don't think that's cool. Don't think that's great. Don't let that be your role model. Both of those guys. Now, does that mean they dropped dead? Did Simeon go, and he's gone, and he turns to the next two? No. But they lost their place of leadership. So who's next? Judah. And oh, is this beautiful. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You're a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion he crouches and lies down, like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations will be his. Who's it talking about there? That's Jesus. Jesus will come from the line of Judah. We said before the irony that Jacob didn't want to marry Leah, but it's their son, Judah, through whom God brings salvation. Looked like his father-in-law had tricked him. He had. Looked like he got lied to. He did. Looked like it was a con. It was. But God was at work. And through the line of Judah, Messiah would come. This was fulfilled initially in David, but ultimately in the son of David, the Messiah, Jesus. Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His border will extend toward Sidon. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey. Well, what in the world is a raw-boned donkey? I don't know, but I don't hear that as something I want to aspire to. Lying down between two saddlebags. He's going to be in a good resting place, in a pleasant area, and he's going to submit to forced labor. What does all that mean? This is going to be fulfilled over generations. Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. And here's how he's going to operate. He's not compared to a lion. He's compared to a serpent by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider tumbles backward. He's going to work. I think this is the kind of guy that we need in the CIA if the CIA is going to do things right. Okay? Instead of going in there and saying, hi, we're here to control things. They just know how to go and boom, boom, boom. It affects the future. Pastor Wood, aren't you aware that there are problems within the CIA? Yes. I mean, do you trust the United States government, Pastor Wood?
No, I don't.
But that's why my compliment is to compare them to a snake. Verse 18. Having told about this, he says, I look for your deliverance, O Lord. My confidence is in the Lord. Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. Another heel biter. Verse 20, Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. But then he comes to Joseph. He's not saying a lot about some of these people. Joseph is a fruitful vine. He's talking about Joseph from verse 22 all the way through verse 26. Look at all the things he says about Joseph. Because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you, with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. Why is Joseph successful? Because of God. That's why Joseph succeeded. Not because Joseph was so smart. You remember when he was brought before Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, I understand that you can interpret dreams. He says, God can interpret dreams. God is the one. That's what he told the guys in prison. Because he was in touch with God. God was with him in all that he did as a slave, as a prisoner, and as the ruler of Egypt. God is the one who is the source of blessing, true blessing, not counterfeit, not just words. God is the one who delivers. And then Benjamin. You ever wonder about Benjamin? You know, well, what about him? He was the youngest. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours the prey, in the evening he divides the plunder. That's all he says. This would be played out in Israel's history. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. Notice this phrase, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. He didn't have the same thing to say to everybody. Because God doesn't have the same thing to say to everybody. Because God chooses. God says, this I will do, and he deliberately delights in taking the nobodies that others wouldn't pick and lifting them up. Read the Song of Mary. Go back and look in the scriptures at how God took a childless couple and said, I'm going to bring nations from you. Why does God do that? So that our only boast is in him. And then Jacob gives his instructions about what they're to do with his body after he dies. Why does it matter? Because we know this isn't the end. There will be a resurrection. And when we treat that body with respect and care, we are honoring the fact that there is a resurrection coming. And he says, I want to be buried in the place where Abraham was buried, where Isaac was buried. That's where I'm to be buried. And then, having given those blessings and those instructions, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. I could tell you multiple stories of folks, even in my own family, who called folks together for a last message. And then, breathed their last. It's a beautiful thing. I'd love to go that way. I don't always get to choose. But if God chooses to give us last moments like that, it is indeed a beautiful thing. And God did that for Jacob after all the things he'd suffered. And he had had a hard life. But God blessed him with a beautiful ending. You want to end well? Walk with him. Live for him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.